Now, would you stand with me one more time? Let's raise our Bibles to give God glory for his word, and the kids can go to the back and wait for their children's church teacher. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, that penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. What the Lord put on my heart to kind of do, that's going to lead us into Palm Sunday and Easter. And yes, they're next month, believe it or not, is a series I did about 5 years ago. And to be honest with you, this is the series that in a way broke the straw on the camel's back. In a good way, and for some in a bad way. It caused some to leave the church because they didn't like where God was taking us. And others felt more empowered than ever. And the Lord put on my heart to revisit it and rework it because, man, as I looked at my old notes, so much has changed and so many things God has shown us. But I feel like it's the right time to revisit this and to talk about what it means. Three things: to pray with power, to declare, and to decree. These are three things that a lot of people are not sure what they mean when it comes to their walk in the Lord. And here's what you will recognize as a central theme in all three of these things as we go through this. The foundation of it all is your identity in Christ. I cannot pray with power if I don't know where that power is coming from. All I'm doing is yelling at the top of my lungs and getting frustrated when things don't happen. Because I don't have to yell when my identity is right and I know where my powers come from. I could just look and say, get out. Be healed. No need to yell and scream. Your authority isn't in your volume of your voice. It's in the power of the Spirit in your heart, in your body, in your mind. It's who is in you. Same thing with declaring. People are afraid to declare because what if I'm wrong? Well, we're going to find out that as we get into this, our identity is a key to that. And our identity lines us up with the heart of God. Jesus said it how many times we keep bringing it up because it's such a profound thing. I only do what I see my fathers do, and I only speak what I hear my father speak. Jesus was declaring and decreeing all the time. Why? Because his father was declaring and decreeing his will, and he knew what that was. So we'll unfold that a little deeper. But let's begin today with praying with power. And I split this up into two messages. Today we're going to talk about the authority in praying with power. Next week we'll talk about the power itself. But let's talk about the authority. In Matthew 21:21-22, so Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and it be cast into the sea. It will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." So to pray in power, we have the ability to pray. What do we need to do? To do this, to be able to pray in power, there's three things we need to do. One is recognize the authority we have, because it's not my power, it's not my authority. To have authority, you have to be under authority. Recognize whose authority I am under, So I recognize the authority I have. I recognize whose authority I am under and realize the weight of that authority that we are under carries. What do I mean by that? Well, at your job, at my job, I know how much authority my supervisor has. And if I'm going to use physical measurements, let's say my supervisor has the authority of 50 pounds, okay? But I also know what the manager who's above my supervisor, I know how much authority they carry. And they are double and triple my supervisor. So I know the parameters of my authority based on the leading of my supervisor and what's been given to me from my supervisor. But if my manager says to me, I am giving you this authority, then I can look at my supervisor and say, I know you don't agree with this, but this comes from above your head. Because they carry a heavier weight. So keep that in mind as we talk about this, because the weight that the authority we have carries comes from the ultimate manager, the Creator God, our Heavenly Father. So we need to realize the authority we have, whose authority we're under, and the weight that carries. To have authority, you have to be under authority. And we are grateful for that. So what is prayer? Prayer is asking God in a serious and determined way for something. That's kind of the dictionary definition of prayer. It's purposefully, and it's a powerful connection with God that we access through prayer. See, here's a big difference. Non-Christians, or people who are, I'm not even going to say non-Christians, because I know many Christians who are not praying with authority. What are they doing? Or power. They're praying to God, right? But when we pray with authority and power, because of our identity in Him and recognizing those things in our communion with Him, we are praying with God. His will be done. Isn't that what Jesus did? He wasn't clueless about what the Father was doing and said, Father, do you really want to heal this demon-possessed legion man here? He knew the Father's heart. He knew His identity as the Son of the Father. And He knew this was going to be done. So He prayed with God, knowing the will of heaven. It wasn't a crapshoot. It wasn't a shot in the dark. He knew exactly what needed to be done. And this is something where I can say is different as I share this today from 5-6 years ago. See, prayer is communication with God. Communication is talking to and hearing from, okay? So it used to make me wonder, why do people who are prophetic say, I want to pray with you, and all they do is prophesy? Because in my mind, I couldn't wrap around the fact that, how is that prayer? Usually prayer is, dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your loving kindness and that kind of thing. I couldn't wrap my mind around it till a few years ago when God started moving and we started moving in the prophetic and I started learning how to tune this heart of mine and this mind of mine to Him, that I realized that that is prayer, because I am hearing and I am responding in obedience and saying, yes, I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be obedient to you. So yes, in a prophetic way, that is prayer as well. And in many ways, that's the epitome of praying with power. Because you're hearing just as Jesus did from the Father, and you're following through exactly as Jesus did. Unwavering faith, just breaking through in that way. Colossians 3:1-2. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things of earth. We are raised with Christ. Raised with Christ. Let's look at this for a second. To be raised with somebody means you're like you're raised with your siblings. You have a relationship with your siblings. When I accept Christ in my heart and I open my heart to the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the Spirit that Jesus said, I'm going to give you, he is being raised in me. And I am being raised with him. So what I have knowledge of, awareness of, is as if I was raised with my sisters. I know them intimately because we grew up together. Well, I might have gotten saved later in life, or I might have gotten saved early in my life. But once I have that relationship, I am being raised in that, and it's a process with him in an intimate manner. So when you're raised with Christ, you're learning to seek the things of above. Holy Spirit's teaching you to seek the things above, the will of heaven, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand. So Christ is hearing right from the mouth of Jesus still. And in his spirit, he's revealing it to us. So set your mind on the things above. How does that apply to praying with power? Well, it's so funny to me how many people in other churches won't go to their pastors to pray because they say, or their people, because they say all they do is pray things like, oh, Lord, be with the doctor's hands. Please, Lord, be with the doctors that help them find something. Instead of, Lord, we just declare you're healed. In the name of Jesus, we're praying for healing right now in the name of Jesus. Lord told us to go heal the sick, so you're sick, and we will pray in your name. Lord, the Bible says go to your elders, lay hands, and let them pray for you. Go to your elders, let them hang. We're laying our hands, and we're praying for you. That's authority. That's power. That's praying with the authority of Christ. Not, dear Lord, if it's your will, keep them alive. Which, I'm being facetious, but that's how a lot of times we pray. And guess what? I was just like that. That was my prayer too. I was not bold enough because I was not fully aware of my identity in Christ. When somebody comes to me and says, I have to have surgery next month about something, I was not bold enough to say, I'm going to pray that before you even get to surgery, God's going to heal you, because I know that's God's heart. Instead, okay, so we'll pray for the doctors. We'll pray for the room temperature. We'll pray for the nurses and the orderlies. We'll pray for the traffic. Not that those things are bad, and you should pray for those things, but we also pray God does what he wants to do before you even get there. That's praying with power. And it comes from the source, which is our identity. We are raised, and it's, again, it's a process. It's not, oh, I was raised with so-and-so, but now it's over. It's, I am being raised continually, daily, with Christ. And so I seek those things that are above. He's taught me to look up first. That's why when we pray, whatever the case may be, we say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do today? What do you want to do? Sometimes I don't have to ask that because I already know that when I'm walking by somebody and I feel that quick word of knowledge prompt, go pray for them. I don't have to ask, but that comes as my identity in relationship with him continues to grow and go deeper. Matthew 6:33, all of us should know this, or most of us should, but seek the kingdom of God first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. If we are not seeking his kingdom and his righteousness first, you know what that is? That's called sin. Why? Because it's apart from him. How are we going to know what the heart of God is when we pray, when we communicate with him, because then all I'm doing is talking and not listening. So anything I do apart from God is called sin. Because if it's not his will for me, if it's not his purpose, his intent, if it's not what he wants me to do, I am apart from him. And that is sin. It's as simple as that. It's more than just cursing and all those things that we read about. Just simply being apart from his heart is sin. And sin is the number one hindrance to effective, powerful prayers. Because I can't pray with the full authority and the power that God has given me if there's a hindrance, a sin in my life that keeps the Holy Spirit at bay. I might have moments. I might have moments where God works in spite of me. But that's because he's so compassionate to others. He's such a compassionate, loving, good God. So he bypasses me. But if I want to be used by God, and I'm sorry, if I want to be used with God, if I want to serve with the Son, if I want to serve with the Holy Spirit, I need to check myself and keep sin apart, because four biggest hindrances, unrepented sin, who are you praying to? Okay? Not knowing your identity is going to make things a little funky, because your prayers could become a little funky. Not understanding by whose authority we pray, that's when you get those weak prayers and timid prayers and our own doubts or lack of faith. One of the things we've learned, sometimes when we pray for others, it's not their faith, it's our faith that comes through. I have to believe that as I pray, God has heard me, I have heard him, and he's moving. I have to believe that. I also have to believe that if nothing happens in that moment, I did my job. I am the vessel, the vehicle of the Holy Spirit to come through, and that's up to him at that point. So I am not going to be discouraged and beat myself up and walk around saying, I failed, I didn't have enough faith, I doubted, that kind of thing. Identity, again, that's going to come up a lot in this series. But let's talk about the authority we have in prayer, which is what I want to focus on today. Where did it come from? Well, the authority we have actually begins in Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So, God is the owner of the earth. God gave administration to man. Man lost the power to administer and the authority to administer in when the first couple fell into sin. We gave that up. See what happened? Think about it for a second. When sin entered in with Adam and Eve, the lie of the enemy is that Adam and Eve had authority over their decision and Satan himself. Remember, they walked with God. Do you also think God was oblivious to what was happening? Okay. God said, I gave you the authority. All you have to do is tell him to get lost. He can't make you do anything. But when you choose to succumb to something apart from the heart of God, you lose the authority you had been given. Let me put it in plain English. My manager gives me authority to run a program. if I misrepresent my manager, he will take that authority from me, saying, I'm going to replace you. Because you represented me, and you weren't an accurate representation of me. I trusted you to be an extension of me, and you didn't do a good job. So I have to find somebody else who is an extension of my heart, my principles, my way of thinking, my goals, my objectives. Because you didn't do that right. You mismanaged what I trusted you with. That's how sin usurps the authority. And the enemy's ploy is to make us feel and be apart from the thing that ties us to recognize the authority we have in him, so that when we pray, we don't have the confidence, we don't play boldly, we don't believe in ourselves, we don't believe in him working through it, we have doubts, and it just becomes a snowball effect. In Matthew 4, 8 through 9, when Jesus was tempted by Satan, it says, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. See, devil, he was either very misguided on his own ability and authority and what he had, or he thought he was going to use the same scheme that he did with Adam and Eve, and the new Adam, Jesus, as he's known in Scripture, was going to fall for it. It's the same thing that he did with Adam and Eve, having them succumb to something that would usurp the Son's authority that was given to him from the Father for something greater. Oh, I'll give you these kingdoms. Here, Adam and Eve, eat this apple or this fruit, and you'll get all this that God's hiding from you. Does God hide anything from us? Scripture says every spiritual blessing under heaven is given to us in Christ Jesus. So there is nothing we don't have available to us. But the enemy wants us to think there is something left. See, the only thing that's not uncovered yet within our lives from the heavenlies are the things that we have not opened our eyes to yet. They're there. We just have not opened our eyes to them. We have not seen them yet. And Scripture says some things are it's too much to know everything all at once. So God gives us what we need as we can handle it. So there's nothing hidden from us. And we are called in Scripture to go and seek out those hidden things. That doesn't mean they're hidden underground. They're locked up with a key, chained with 70,000 miles of chain so nobody breaks into them. God says, search me, seek me, and you will find me. Knock. When you're at that place where you're hungry, you're willing, I will reveal these things to you that your heart desires. So it's not kept away from us. It's kept for us to receive when we've had the capacity to receive. And one of the things that Lord apparently showed many of us in our prayer group this morning throughout the week is he wants to empty us out to make room for what he wants to pour in. We need to get rid of some things so he has room to pour in and give us what he has. The reason sometimes he doesn't give us everything is because we've made no room for him. So make that room. 15, 45 to 47 says this. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Listen to the difference. One was living, one was life-giving, the source of life to come. However, The spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. Romans 8, 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Remember, I shared with you many times, my biggest fear when I prayed for healing or prayed for somebody is making God look bad if it didn't happen. Why? Because I was looking at myself in the mirror, thinking it was me. God does not want me to represent him by trying to represent me. He wants me to represent him by showing him and just saying yes. If it works, it's awesome. If it doesn't happen, well, that's not my fault. My job is to be obedient. If my manager, who's given me authority over a program, says, I want you to run this program A, B, and C exactly, and I run it A, B, and C exactly, and something does not work, my manager's not going to fire me. He's not going to take that authority from me because I represented them accurately. But if I decided to do A, B, and E, now we have an issue because that was not an accurate representation of his heart and his purpose and his vision. One of the things I've struggled in this church for many, many years that the Lord, and it was bondage, that God broke me through, is I would trust somebody, give them authority to run something or do something in this church. Not knowing how to train them accurately, but just thinking, okay, they can do it. And then when it doesn't get done that way, I have to take that back. And then I have to do it all over again. The problem wasn't them necessarily, it was me. And the lack of training, but in my eyes, it was me. And I have to control this because they weren't accurately representing what God was showing me that we needed to do and how we needed to be. Now, as we are learning and growing, we're recognizing that authority. We're learning to trust and to train and to encourage versus discourage by usurping, because the source of that was fear. Again, this has got to be run the way God wants it to run because I'm afraid it'll fail. If it fails, I don't want to make God look bad. God came to take away our fears. For we did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with us, with our spirit, that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. See, in Christ, the new Adam, we were made alive together with him. We were raised up to a new life together with Christ. And we are made to sit together in heavenly places. That's what his word tells us. So if I know my place, if I know whose authority I'm under, the authority I've been given, and the weight of that authority, what shall I fear? Because somebody's got my back. So when I pray with power, I am not praying with timidity. I'm not praying with fear. I'm not praying with doubt. I'm not praying in my own strength. I also don't need to get loud. All I need to do is know here, okay, this is God, this is your heart. So I am going to speak it right now in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to follow through with it in the name of Jesus. I've checked myself, and Lord, you've cleansed me, and you've forgiven me, and I lay anything I have at your altar. So, Lord, you have an open flow, open channel to just Holy Spirit flow in and flow out. Do your thing. I'm giving you that freedom. I've positioned myself for you to do this. And I've let go. And I am trusting you. I want to just go through, as we close here, a few scriptures real quick. And if you don't have time to really write them all down or notes down, just take down the scriptures. Colossians 2:10. And in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. So he's the head over everything and the authority. And I've been made complete. What does that make me? It makes me completely whole in the authority, completely entrusted to follow through in him as long as I stay within my parameters, which is him and me without any hindrances and doing it his way. I'm complete. There's nothing I lack. I have everything, every tool at my disposal. John 3:35, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. And Scripture says the Son has given us his Spirit to do far greater things than he even would do, is what he told us in Scripture. Because he was one, and now we have the capacity to go all over the world as many. Matthew 10:1, Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. That's what he's given us. Go cast it out. And those who were here last week and heard David at the training on Saturday talk about deliverance, it's not that difficult. Nothing like you watch on TV. And yes, some of them might take hours. But you know what? It's whose authority you're standing in. And if the person is willing to unfriend that demon, that the person is willing to give up that demon, that spirit inside them, freedom's available. I won't go too much into that because that's a whole different message. Luke 10:19. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Now, he's not saying physically go stand on a snake or a scorpion, which that's how cults come out. Okay, and we know down south and probably up north too, there are some. They represent the demonic forces that are coming against the heart of God. That's what he's talking about. Demonic forces that come against the heart of God. Just like Adam and Eve could have, in the authority God gave them, treaded on that serpent and said, "Get out. This is the place where we fellowship with the Father, not with you. You don't belong here." But they didn't. When he showed up, that serpent showed up with Jesus. Jesus put him in his place. That's what he's talking about. He's given us that authority to tread on them. What does he say in the New Testament? Submit yourselves to God first, then resist the devil and he will flee from you, and you crush the head of Satan under your feet. You're treading on serpents and scorpions. That's the authority we have. Matthew 28:18-19, then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you get up and go. You make disciples to all nations. You baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit." You go. You lead them to salvation. Open their hearts up. Help them to come and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You baptize them in water. You baptize them in the Spirit. And then you train them up to grow in making him Lord of their lives. That's what a disciple is. They follow the teachings of another. They learn to follow the instructions of another. So they become in the image of Christ themselves. You empower them. And last verse, Romans 8, 10 to 11. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit gives you life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells within you. What is that saying? It's simple. If your body, if you don't feel like you can do anything in your own strength, and you know, I can't do this, you know the backing of the authority behind you to do this. See, the lie of the enemy says, don't try because you don't have it. Don't try because it won't work, because you can't, because you'll fail on your own. I have to keep renewing my mind and telling myself, yes, I can, not because of me, but because of him in me. I know I can't do this. So when the devil says, you can't do this, you go, yeah, you're right, I can't, but he can. So, and I represent him, so guess what? I can in Jesus' name. I will in Jesus' name. And I know who I am, being raised with Christ. So I know my place. I know my identity. I know what he's given me. He's teaching me how to, quote, rule and reign in his name, in the authority that I have as a co-heir with him in Christ, here on earth, a reflection of the heart of God in heaven. Amen? Would you stand with me right now? Yeah. Just place yourself in that receiving position right now. Thank you, Lord. Right now, Father, just thank you for you. Thank you for who you are. And we thank you for sending your Son to teach us how to walk in authority and power, and then releasing the Spirit that is in him onto us to do the same and being encouraged to do the same. Thank you right now. Thank you, God, that you established our identity even before we knew who we were. We can look in the mirror and say, I'm a nerd, I'm a this, I'm a that. But you look at us and say, you're my son, you're my daughter. You have the keys to the kingdom I have given you. You have all authority in me to do everything we just read about. So right now, Father, I just want to release in your name a sense of sonship and daughtership, that we know who you are. We recognize our Father's face, our Daddy's face. And we know we are his son and his daughter. Yes, Lord. Lord, help us right now to commit that when the enemy comes, that we will just recognize and say more. Yeah, I know. I know who I am. Say, you're wrong. Or even, you're right. I know I can't, but I know who can in me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
In a few minutes, we're going to get together in our prayer groups. And we're going to pray. Right now, I just feel in my spirit God leading us into a special place. If we want to be the best we can be, he says to seek him with passion in your heart, and you will find him. And when you find him, you will find yourself. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And then as we seek you, Lord, we will find who we are. Your love for us has no end, Father. And you draw us close to you. We want to be the best we can be. We will not settle for anything less, Lord. And we declare your words and your promises over us and our households. Past failures are no more. We seek you. We seek your goodness. We seek your love. We seek your holiness and your pure heart, Father. Our eyes are on you only. So I want to thank you, Father, for your spirit right now in this place. We give you the glory for this day. As we leave, we will praise you and we will lift your name on high. And we are seated right next to you, Father. That is our place. So right now we're going to get together and we're going to ask God as we seek him to reveal to him, to us, who he is and who we are. As we press in and we get closer to our Father who loves us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. So let's get in groups right now, maybe three or four, and pray.